Hello, and welcome to Unstuffing Our Story with me, Catrice Horsley. Today forms the last episode of the first season, so carry on listening to hear my reflections about the 12 wonderful guests that we had on, and also to find out when season 2 will be starting and how you can help me decide on what guests we should invite. So, we have come to the end of the first season of Unstuffing Our Story. And during that season, I was honoured and delighted and enthralled to interview 12 incredible people. I like the number 12. It's almost like the months of the year and the hours in the day. And 12 is a magic number, a revolution in a way, a turning around, a cycle. And I hope that Unstuffing Our Story will be a cycle for some of you, something that you will come back to. I certainly will. I certainly want a season 2, just because I'm greedy to find out more and to connect with people more. It has been really delightful being able to peek through the lens of my guests and see the way that they view their worlds and their stories. I think about each of the guests. I think about Anthony, who started us off, and his breadth of view and how he found a home in the world of poetry and in the poetry world itself. I think of Sandra introducing me to this idea of the superpower of neurodiversity and finding the special skills behind those people who bear the label of being disabled. I think of Aisha restoring people's perceptions of beauty, of what it is to be beautiful, and taking ownership of her own story. Of Rebecca, who talks about learning from other people's journeys as she went on her own journey, battling cancer. I think about Raymond, her delightful accent, great accent, and how he told the story of art being constructive and conflict being destructive, and how he changed and challenged people's stories about him and his background. Steve, who shared with us the fact that no story is fixed. We are an amalgamation of ever-changing stories, and traditional stories provide us with the vocabulary to be able to articulate our inner experience. The incredible Liz Weir, who is very close to my heart, and how she talks about the extraordinary stories of ordinary people. And then Mattia talking about neighborhoods and communities and their stories, how communities and neighborhoods have stories and identities, and how we can help people take ownership of those and change those. And finally, that delightful talk with the wondrous and wonderful Alice Fowler, who talked about the slices of untamed life that exist within the cracks in the pavements. What a peek through people's perceptions of their worlds, and how much it gave me and how much it helped me alter my perception of my world. I am thankful, so thankful to all of my guests. I felt in some ways that talking to each of the guests was like looking through the lens of a kaleidoscope, the kaleidoscope of life. And all those little beads are at the bottom of a kaleidoscope. They're like facts that in some ways we knew, certainly that I knew, little bits of information that I knew. And as that person spoke to me, that kaleidoscope moved and twisted, and those little bits of information suddenly formed a pattern, a constellation of meaning that I hadn't known existed. And then another guest and another twist of bits of information, bits of story, bits of facts, and another new pattern, another new constellation of understanding and meaning. It was incredible to see how people answer the same questions in such different ways, and how I learned so many different things from the answering of the same questions. I don't know what I expected when I started the podcast. I know what I wanted. I wanted to feel more connected, and I wanted to know more about the world that I live in and the world that other people live in. And I think certainly that doing the podcast made me feel less alone and certainly helped me find out more about the world around me and how different people view it in different ways. I reflect on what did I learn doing the podcast, and there has absolutely been a development, I think, in many different ways, that ability to look at things now through a different lens. I will never look at cracks in the pavement in the same way after talking to Alice. And I will never look at people who have disabilities in the same way after talking to Sandra. And it's the same with every single guest. They made me look at my landscape or other people or communities or stories in totally different ways. The other thing that the podcast gave me was personal development. You know, I found out how to edit. I found out that it's way better to Zoom the conversation first and then transfer the audio over. I found out that it took a lot longer than I expected. And so that helped me develop my patience. In actual fact, out of all the stuff that I do, whether it's my YouTube channel that I run, whether it's stories that I've written, performances that I've done during lockdown, the podcast has been the most work intensive and the most challenging, and therefore, in many ways, the most rewarding. I also think about, what would I change in season two? Is there anything that I would change? And I think there is. As I went through the interviews, I started off with a series of questions that I wanted to ask. And it was really important to me because perhaps I am a little bit of a controlling person. It was really important to me to ask those questions. And as the podcast progressed, I realized that it was actually perhaps more important to me to follow what the guests were saying, and that would lead me to a story or lead me to a place where I could ask the questions if necessary, or other questions about stories and narrative and helpers and demons would make themselves known to me. So in some ways, I learned that I can be more trusting of what will be given to me, and that I didn't always have to be the guide leader on the journey through the podcast. I just had to trust that the guests would know where they wanted to go And that we would end up in the place of sharing and curiosity and listening and learning. So I think in season two, I will be more trusting of the journey that my guests want to take me on and less enforcing on the journey that I want them to go on with me. That'll be a challenge. The other thing that I want to say before I tell you my favourite story is that absolutely one of the reasons I started the podcast was because I felt isolated and a little alone and not even not connected with other people, but in some ways not connected with myself. I'd been living in Sweden for 3 years. I moved here because I fell in love and followed my Swedish man back to his home. And moving to a new country, trying to learn a new language, being in a new culture, always makes me aware, because it's not the first time I've done it. I lived in Ghana for 6 years as well. Always makes me aware of how hard it is, in actual fact, to try and be who you are and who you know yourself to be when you don't know the language or don't know the culture. I can speak enough Swedish now, but when I first came here, it was such a struggle. And I felt that nobody could see me. And I think I lost some of my confidence, lost some of myself, and felt that I couldn't be me here in this new culture with this language that I didn't fully understand. And then COVID hit, and I couldn't travel back home to Birmingham in England. I love my city. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And you know, you sit on the bus in Birmingham and you have a conversation. There's no way you can't. And there are jokes and people are open and friendly. And I would understand all the frames of reference and the in-jokes and people saying babs and in it and buzz instead of bus. And it would make me feel me because that's where my roots are. And that was the landscape and the culture that helped form me into the person that I am. And I couldn't get back there to recalibrate myself. I was stuck here in Sweden. I love Sweden. But there is a sense of still not being able to be all that I am or all that I know that I can be here. So yes, I set up the podcast because I felt isolated and alone, and I wanted connection. And I got that. And it made me feel like in the darkness of my loneliness, in the dark sea of my loneliness and my isolation, suddenly there were little lights, little boats with lights floating and bobbing on that sea. And they made themselves known to me. And I wasn't alone anymore. And so every single one of you who has subscribed, it is not just a subscription to the channel. Every single one of you who has listened, it is not just that you listened. It is that you became a tiny bobbing beacon of light in the shadowlands of my experience of COVID and feeling isolated. And I want to thank you for that so much. I don't think any of you will, or perhaps you will, many of you might fully understand what that means, to know that somewhere far away, perhaps even in another land, somebody is listening to you and hearing you, and that knowledge makes us feel less alone. I wanted to share my absolute most favorite story with you all as a close to this first season. And it's a story that I heard when I was in Ramallah in Palestine. And it's a story that I am known for telling. And it goes like this. There was once an old, old woman, but she was a happy old woman because she lived in a village where she had a purpose. She had a job. She was the water carrier. And every day she would take a long wooden pole and she would hang ceramic jugs off the end of that pole. And she would lift those jugs onto her old strong shoulders. And she would walk down, down, down the dry, dusty path to the well. And she would fill those jugs up to the brim, to the rim, with crystal clear sparkling water. She'd hoist them back on her old shoulders. She'd walk back up the dry, dusty path to the village. And the people would come and the people would drink and they were happy and she was happy and life was sweet. Now, one day, the old woman took those jugs on her strong old shoulders. She walked down, down, down the dry, dusty path to the well. She filled them up to the brim, to the rim, with that crystal clear, sparkling water. She carried them back up to the village. The people came, the people drank, but they left a little bit of water in the bottom of one of the jugs. And that night, the temperature dropped. And that water turned to ice, and the ice expanded in the jug, and the jug cracked. And it wasn't a big crack, but it was a crack. The jug was broken. And the other jug next to it, the perfect jug, the unbroken jug, started to whisper, "Look at you. You're pathetic. You're broken. You're worthless. She'll throw you away. She'll throw you away, you know. You're broken, pathetic, useless, worthless. Broken, pathetic, useless, worthless." All through the night, that perfect jug hissed its insults at the broken jug. And when the morning sun came up to greet the sky, it fell silent. The old woman came in. She took the two jugs. She did not see the crack. She put them on her old strong shoulder. She walked down, down, down the dry, dusty path to the well. She filled them up to the brim, to the rim with that crystal clear, sparkling water. And she put them back on her shoulders. And the broken jug was on her left-hand side. And the perfect jug was on her right-hand side. And as she walked up that dry, dusty path, that broken jug wept tears of sorrow all along the left-hand side of the path. That night, the perfect jug started again. Pathetic, useless, worthless, pathetic, useless, worthless. She'll throw you away, you know. She'll throw you away. She'll throw you away. You are no good. All through the night, it hissed its insults. And when the morning sun came up to greet the sky, it fell silent. The woman came in that day. She took those jugs, she put them on her shoulder, she walked down, down, down the dry, dusty path to the well, she filled them up to the rim with that crystal clear, sparkling water, she hoisted them back on her shoulders, and once more the broken jug was on her left-hand side, and once more the perfect jug was on her right-hand side, and once more she walked up that dry, dusty path, and once more that broken jug wept tears of sorrow, tears of shame, all along the left-hand side of the path. And that night, the perfect jug started again. Pathetic, useless, worthless, pathetic, useless, worthless. You can't even do your job. She'll throw you away. She'll throw you away. You're no good. Pathetic, useless, worthless, pathetic, useless, worthless. It carried on hissing its insults all through the night, it continued. Even as the sun came up to greet the sky, it did not stop. Even as that woman put those jugs on her shoulders, it did not stop. Even as that woman walked down the dry, dusty path to the well, it did not stop. Even as she filled them up to the brim, to the rim, with that crystal clear, sparkling water, it did not stop. Even as she hoisted them on her old, strong shoulders, it did not stop. Even as she started to walk up that dry, dusty path, it did not stop. But she was a wise old woman, and she could hear the song of the soil beneath her feet, and she could see the images and paintings and pictures in the clouds, and she could hear that jug. And she put the jugs down on the path and she said, "Silence, silence. Look, look upon the left-hand side of the path. And there, all along the left-hand side of the path, small green shoots and leaves were pushing themselves up through the crumbling soil. Small petals were uncurling and unfurling in the long, warm, golden fingers of the sun, all because of the cracks in the broken jug. And the good jug fell silent." I hope you enjoyed the story. I will leave it with you, and you can make of it what you will. And I really look forward to returning to your ears once more with season 2, which I think will be coming out in just over a month. And I want to ask you all a favour. I want to ask you to send me ideas for guests. I've got some lined up, but if you know of anybody who has enabled others to change their stories, or perhaps turned a negative story about themselves into a positive, or enabled communities to change their stories, or people who are in prisons to change theirs, let me know. Send me suggestions and help me share with you people who can help us also unstuff our stories. Stay hale, hearty, and healthy. Bye bye for now.